You know, it was just one of those days where I was feeling, well, a little blah. And sometimes that happens. I spend a certain amount of my days helping people or with people who, they're being touched by the darkness of this world. You know, people are struggling with maybe habits and things that they've brought into their life, or people have been impacted by the sin of others, people who've experienced, you know, injustice or whatever in their lives. And, you know, it can wear on you some days. And this was one of those days. So it was about 2 weeks ago. And I left here just feeling kind of like, blah. And so Ann and I went, we said, let's go out to eat. Let's go get something to eat. And so we went to a restaurant and we're sitting there eating. And I'm like, man, I could really use a boost today. And right in the middle of that dinner, I get a text from a friend. And the text is from a friend who's kind of into the hashtag too soon thing, right? But not in the way Jason is. They love to do Christmas. They love to do it early. And they are really into the Christmas light thing. And so he sends me this text, which I think he's inviting me over to see. He's just finished his awesome Christmas lights on his house, right? I think he's inviting me. A little hard to tell, because do you have friends who text you so fast that they don't always get the words right? Okay, well, he's one of those friends. And so he sends me this text. I think this is an invitation, and this is just what I need. I'm going to go over, get a little boost for the season and a boost for the day. So we finish dinner. We drive over to his house, pull up in front, and this is what I find. And I'm like, come on, man. So I took that picture and I sent it to him. And I said, really? Well, he comes out, fiddles around for a while. He's crawling around on the ground, boom, 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 and then boom. Okay. Right? Hey, that's pretty good. But as I drove away, I realized, you know what? That didn't really do it. No. I didn't mean that the way it sounded. That's awesome. But it didn't change the day. Right? And you know, that's kind of a metaphor for the way I sometimes feel. Maybe you feel this way at the holiday season. You know? We put so much effort, we put so much preparation, and somehow hoping at the end of all of our holiday efforts, the lights will come on, and we'll be like, yeah. Right? Because this season, we call it Advent in the church. This season of preparation, of getting ready for something coming. We so often invest our time and energy into the things that our culture tells us this will make it good. Right? I mean, it could be the decorations. It could be the gifts, you know, that you buy thinking, man, I'm going to get finally this year just the right gift for everybody, and then everybody will be happy and there'll be a lot of harmony in my house, right? Or we'll have the perfect family gathering. Everybody will be happy for once, right? Or maybe at work they'll have Christmas bonuses will come back this year, and then the financial pressure will be alleviated a little bit, right? And then in the mail, you get those Christmas cards, those pictures from people, and they're all perfect, and they're dressed alike, and you think, yeah, maybe this year my family will be perfect at Christmas too, right? We'll have the perfect gathering, and everything will go smooth, and we'll end up feeling happy. But more often than I would like to admit, go through all of that stuff, and the lights, they just don't come on. Or they just don't do it. We're left with our darkness. I mean, the reality is, for a lot of people, the hope that we can have for this season, it just doesn't happen. There's no picture perfect family gathering, right? The gifts just don't cut it. God seems distant, and the bills can be overwhelming. And even for me personally, I can say there are a lot of years, there have been, where I end the Christmas season feeling just a little bit empty. And what I came to realize is that in those years where I put my really hope for the Christmas season is into what we do at church. You know, how's it going? You know, who's going to come? Is it going to be awesome? What's it going to be like? And when my hope for the season is in those kinds of things, no matter what happens, at the end, just left with emptiness. But here's the thing. Today, you know what I want you to see today? I want you to see today that God, at Christmas time, He actually invites us into the light. In fact, He invites us to a great light. A light so great, so powerful, that it can overcome any and all darkness. And it will not disappoint. It's brighter than the best Christmas gift, right? It's fuller than the best Christmas gathering. It's able to overcome the deepest darkness of our world. And that's a good thing. Because really in our world, there is darkness. But I want you to see God stepping into that and inviting us to something better. And this invitation from God, this first invitation to Christmas, it actually comes 7 centuries before the first Christmas. It comes to us in the words of a prophet. We find it in the book of the Old Testament in Isaiah. And we're going to start in Isaiah chapter 8 today, verse 21. And to see the light, to appreciate the invitation of God's light, you have to start with the darkness, right? When you want to see the power of light, you got to see it shine in the darkness. And so here are some people that whose lives were, although different in circumstances to ours, they were similar in terms of what they faced. This is Isaiah chapter 8, verse 21. Distressed and hungry, they roam through the land. When they are famished, they will become enraged, and looking upward, they will curse their king and their God. And then they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they'll be thrust into utter darkness. Okay, that's pretty cheerful Christmas stuff, right? And this was written a long time ago to the people of Judah, who lived in this world where they had enemies on every side, that they were under this constant pressure and this constant threat of invasion, and the difficulty that they lived in. It meant there were things like famines and starvation and war and death. And they were working so hard to solve their problems in the way that we often do. They were looking to other people. They were trying to make peace treaties and alliances and get this person to help them fight this person. And in the midst of it, the prophet says, this is the state of the people. This is where they are. They're hungry. They're distressed. They're famished. They're enraged. Like, this is the sum total of all of their efforts, all of their attempts to make things better. And the result it has is this. They look upward, they curse their king. That means they kind of metaphorically look up and say, the people are supposed to be helping us. The king, the rulers, the government, they curse them. And beyond that, God who they thought was on their side, doesn't seem to be helping them the way they want. And so they curse God. And then they look down, metaphorically. They look at the earth. They look at the world that they live in. And all they see is the darkness. All they see is distress. And it's about to wipe them out, right? And so that's what was happening to the people of Judah. Different circumstances than ours, but for us, it works the same way, right? Our world is full of darkness. I see it all the time. I see it in myself, right? My selfish nature. Looking out for myself. Pursuing my own means. I see it in the people around me. The way it touches lives. There really are people walking around famished and hungry. People in despair. It's dark. It's dark. But it's into this darkness that God then speaks. And He issues an invitation, not just to the people of Judah, but to all of us. Because it's in that background that the words of Isaiah chapter 9 come. And these words are familiar to us, many of us, at Christmas time. This is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. The people who are walking in darkness, it says, have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You've enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. This is the voice of a prophet, right? This hasn't happened yet. But he's looking ahead into their future, into our future, and saying, there's something out there. God's going to do something. And it's described in this way. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. In the middle of the darkness of human existence, light has dawned. It isn't a light that the people have come up with. It's a light that comes from God. In fact, the light is God in coming to his people. And so the light is dawning when, as we'll see in a moment, the events of the first Christmas are foretold. And so the prophet describes in these verses these words that for them meant victory, meant success. It meant they would be winning again. They'd have what they needed, right? It says you've enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They lived in a time where their nation was shrinking and pressured and threatened and divided. But one day, when the light comes, their borders would be expanded in the sense that their nation would have joy. Right? They rejoice like people at harvest, the very best time of the year when there's a good crop and much to reap. The way warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. They lived in a time when that's what other people were doing to them. Other people were rejoicing at their fall. And so in these words, God says, this light is coming and it's going to change and reverse your circumstances. And there's good coming. And this is the heart of God's Christmas invitation, this idea in verse 4 that says this. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, that's a historical event, in the day of Midian's defeat, you, God, you've shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar that is across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. There's going to be this day of freedom and release for the people. And it's put in terms for them, which were very picturesque, things that they could relate to. Every day, they would see on the side of the road these teams of oxen, right, with a yoke, literally, across their shoulder, holding them, tying them together, right, being prodded along by a master with a switch or with a whip, driving them where they want to be. Right? And God says it's going to be the opposite of that one day. When the light comes, when the light dawns in this world, you're going to be free from that oppression. The yoke, the bar across your shoulders, it'll be removed. There'll be no more oppressor with a rod following you. And that is the heart of this idea that into our darkness, God brings this light. It's the invitation, it's the thing that we hold out for at Christmas time. God bringing light. When we're hopeless, or when we're stuck in the dark, God acts. He brings the light that expels the darkness from our lives. There's victory and there's freedom ahead, and you're invited to see it. And that light comes in a very remarkable package. It comes as a birth announcement. That's verse 6 of Isaiah 9. You see these words, you sing these words, you hear these words at Christmas time. This is where they come from. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Again, for them, the words of the prophet looking ahead. We have the benefit of looking back and seeing these words fulfilled in the coming of Jesus, the coming of the Christ child at Christmas. And so you see that because in this birth announcement, there's some very unusual descriptions for a child. They're actually very unusual descriptions even for a child who might one day be a king. They're very unusual. And the reality is, God's invitation to us is to embrace this light that comes, that dawns at Christmas in the form of this baby, this one who for them was the one promised to save them, their Messiah, or as we say, the Christ. And the child that we celebrate, we anticipate and celebrate during Advent and Christmas, he is the child who would be their salvation and ours. And these names that he's given reflect something remarkable about him, and that each of them carries a very specific invitation to you and to me during this season. So I just want to talk about them for a moment. The first name given to this child is Wonderful Counselor. To us, when we think about a counselor, we think about someone who comes and gives counsel, one who listens to you, one who has insight and suggests solutions for you, that sort of thing, right? You guys know Pastor Heidi on our staff. She's a trained counselor. Last week, she came into my office, and I was sitting there at my table with some of my journals spread out, my planners. I'm sort of a planner junkie, and I currently have three that I'm using, I'm trying to use. And that doesn't count the ones on my phone and on my computer. Always looking for the very best way to plan and to organize and to straighten out my day. And so Heidi, on this day, she just walks into my office and says, "Hey, what are you doing?" And I'm saying, "Well, I'm trying to figure out which planner is best." And she says, "Oh, you're trying to address your internal chaos through external sources." So, right, that's what a counselor can do. They can give you these moments of insight that help you go, perhaps I need a better solution, right? And then they move you in that direction. The thing about this child who's born, he's actually called Wonderful Counselor, and it really actually carries that idea of bringing counsel to you, bringing strategies, bringing plans and help to you for your life. For them, the people of Judah, they were running around, coming up with schemes and plans and allegiances and alliances, trying to solve their problem. And Isaiah says, listen, a day is coming when a child is going to be born, and he's going to be the Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful meaning on the level of supernatural strategies. He doesn't look to other people for counsel. He keeps his own counsel, and he offers it to you. He offers it to his people. One day, God says, a child will be born to you who will make perfect plans, or he'll know just what to do. And maybe like me, you could use a wonderful counselor. Maybe you need some help making plans. Maybe you've been trying to solve your problems in your own way. You know, your financial situation, your career path, your relationship, your family situation. Maybe you've been working hard, and you look up at the end of the day and say, my plans, my strategies, they aren't doing it. I could use some input. Well, God says Christmas is the time. You get to celebrate the coming of the light, this child who brings and makes wonderful plans. Maybe you're relying on someone else, something else to direct the course of your life. Maybe you've put your hope in something besides God for your family, for your future. God's inviting you to something different. The child whose birth we anticipate at Advent and that we celebrate at Christmas, he's the perfect plan maker, the ultimate strategist. And his plans will not fail because of the next name, the second name, that this child will be called Mighty God. That's a Hebrew term for warrior. It's El Gabor. It's the kind of term the ancients would use to describe those kings who were very impressive and very accomplished at making war and winning battles. And this child is described as God's representative in battle. God's going to empower him in a supernatural way. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 10, this word's going to be used about God himself. So it tells you something. Wonderful counselor, mighty God, he's able to defeat all of his enemies. It means he's able to execute all of his plans. He doesn't just make plans, he carries them out fully. And for them, this meant the hope and promise of a military victor, a defender, one who would keep their enemies at bay and ultimately defeat them and bring them victory and deliverance. To them, God was sending a child, El Gabor, who would be, who already is, able to defeat their enemies. And for us, the baby that we celebrate at Christmas, he's mighty. He can accomplish everything he desires to. The plans that he makes, he will do. He will completely defeat all of his enemies. And to us, God is issuing an invitation to embrace this child who will be God's king and who will bring you God's power. Maybe you need some of God's power in your life, right? Maybe you need God's power to overcome some hurdles, some obstacles that are in your way. Maybe there are things you've put in your way yourself. Maybe there are things that have come to you at the hands of others or just through the circumstances of life. And you need the power of God. It comes at Christmas. Maybe you need the power of God to revive your life, your faith in God, to be restored. And at Christmas time, mighty God comes. And if you'll embrace him, you can see his victory in your life as he accomplishes his plans. And if you trust him fully, you know that he will have the victory. He can do and will do what he sets out to. And that's a pretty comforting thought. He's called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Ultimately, that's demonstrated in his ultimate victory over death. The child who comes at Christmas is going to die on Easter. He's going to give his life to pay the cost of your sin. He's going to rise again from the dead, defeating death, your ultimate and final enemy, Mighty God. And then he's called Everlasting Father. That's an unusual term for a baby, don't you think? Everlasting Father. This is another term used by kings in the ancient world. It points to him as a protector, a provider, a benefactor. He cares and he provides like a father should. His power, his ability to make and accomplish his plans results in his beneficial rule, his good rule over his people. And it's eternal, always everlasting, it will never end. And for them, this was a promise that God was still looking out for them. That even though they lived in a day where there was a lot of darkness and even at their own hand they were suffering, he would still have compassion on them. He would do what is best for them, even though they faced dire circumstances. For us, though he comes as a child, a mere baby, he is in fact everlasting Father. He provides the protection and benefits for us like a father. And maybe today you need to entrust yourself to a father you know you can count on, who you know will be there, who has the ability to make and accomplish perfect plans for you. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And finally, Prince of Peace. And this points to his ability, this child, to bring peace, to bring prosperity and goodness of life to his people. It's the result of his victory over the enemies he faces. He brings peace. Their history was one of constant warfare, attacks, threats, neighboring nations. God promised to send them a child king who would establish and keep peace. Once and for all, permanent peace. And not peace based on skilled negotiations or setting up an alliance or winning a war on their own. permanent peace because the king defeats their enemies and establishes his rule. And for us, it's the same thing. This child that we celebrate at Christmas, he brings God's peace. Peace with God through his death on the cross. Peace with other people through the forgiveness that he offers and that he works in our relationships. And certainly peace on a personal level. When you trust this child born on Christmas, you do experience the peace of God in your life. Real peace, a lasting peace, is actually possible. It comes through a child that we celebrate at Christmas. So in the midst of all of our darkness, the darkness in our own lives, the darkness that we see around us, God steps in and he sends us hope and he invites us to experience his goodness. It comes in this child, this King, Jesus, who we celebrate this year. And today I invite you to look to Jesus. Respond to his invitation. Perhaps today you need to embrace one of the very specific kinds of help and hope that he brings. Maybe for you it's Wonderful Counselor, right? Maybe it's Mighty God. Maybe it's Everlasting Father. Maybe it's Prince of Peace. Today, as you think about your preparation for the season, let me turn your heart. Turn your heart from all of the things our world says will make you feel fulfilled. And instead embrace this child and his power, his protection, his plans, and his peace. Let's pray together. And as we pray, let me invite you to embrace maybe one of these names for this child Jesus resonates with you more fully than the others. Maybe because of your need today. Maybe you need plans and strategies in your life that come from God. Maybe you need power over your enemies. Maybe you need caring protector. Maybe you need peace in your heart and with others. And as we spend a moment praying, would you simply in your heart reach out to this child, this Jesus, this Savior, this King? God, we recognize our tendency to trust in our decor and our gifts and our gatherings and all of the things that make up this season. And today we acknowledge our need, our desire to turn to you. And to let all of the other things we do, all the fun and all the gathering and all the preparing, let that be an expression of the way in our life that we've embraced you, the child you've sent us, a Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And we pray this today through this child's name, Jesus. Amen.